the Brandon Sherry Oddcast, sponsored by Metashare. To find out more about the radio show or to order Brandt's new book, Blessed Are the Misfits, go to brandhanson.com.
So if you're the mayor of a city, here's an idea. Tell everybody that IKEA is moving in and they're bringing in 3,300 jobs.
Okay.
And get everybody excited about it.
People would be excited about that.
And then tell them, no, I was just kidding, it was April Fool's. Because it was April Fool's. It was a joke.
Oh.
So a mayor of France actually did this.
So if you are mayor, you're doing this. Just have other plans for employment later down the road.
I was laughing about that, but also just what do we think is a funny prank? That's
why I don't do them, because they swerve into that.
Right.
Not funny at all.
No, it's not, and I don't know who signed up, They have 11% unemployment in this town in France.
Oh.
And so people are like, hey, maybe my cousin can get a job. Maybe I can get a job. Maybe I can.
No.
No, no. What's,
April Fool's, waka, 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 waka.
Oh, our mayor is hilarious.
that guy.
He's crazy. Her name is Jade, and she went on my Facebook page and said, I don't feel loved. I don't feel hopeful. I pray, and it doesn't seem to help. And she was wondering what to do. And I'm not a counselor, but I did have a couple of things I could tell her just as a friend. And that is, she talked a lot about her feelings. I'm like, don't trust them. Because hope isn't gone if you don't feel it. It's real. It's based on who God is. That's the great thing about faith, is that it's not really about the strength of me in my faith as much as it is the strength of what I'm putting my faith in. And my feelings, let's face it, they go up and down every day. There's a whole bunch of stuff that goes into our feelings. We talk about this quite a bit. You can't trust them. Feelings are great liars. Eugene Peterson says, you just can't. So if you feel like God's not around, or you feel this, or feel down, I know, I understand, totally get it, but your feelings aren't the truth. And so what I would do is, if there's a way, because she even said too, you know, like when I pray, it doesn't seem to help. Well, it may not bring those feelings back. It might, but there's this trust thing, and we're not ultimately putting trust in our feelings. We're putting trust in a God and his truth. So I would encourage you on that level, like make a list of things that you're thankful for. Actively love people. I've been told to do this myself when I get down. Find ways and go out and find a way to serve somebody. And I would encourage you to do that. And if the feelings come back, awesome. A lot of times they will when you do that, but if they don't, still doesn't change the truth. Hey, question. Do you know, and I'll ask Sherry this, do you know what a herb is?
A herb?
A herb?
Not like an herb?
No. Like if you call somebody a herb?
Oh, no, I do not know that.
Okay. I didn't.
Okay.
And so I looked it up because somebody was calling me that.
Were you pleased with what you found?
Kind of. I mean, it was in anger. They wrote a tweet.
Okay.
And it was kind of cussing at me and stuff. But
sure.
Also, it called me a herb along with some words and stuff.
Well, you know what? That's always impressive when someone is trying to insult you and then you're like, I wonder what that means.
What does that mean? And I looked it up and it means to be a chump.
Oh.
A nerd,
mm-hmm.
A geek, it said, and then annoying.
Oh, well, so. If you take the annoying out.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
Yeah, I'm herb-like.
Yeah.
I mean, herbish.
If you want to call me, that's cool. You can leave out all the other stuff. But this guy was really mad about. I wrote a tweet about Good Friday, and I thought it was a thought about the thief on the cross.
Yeah.
And their response to my story about Jesus forgiving the man on the cross was
to cuss you out.
Cuss me out and call me a herb.
Hmm.
And
it's a lot of contradiction there.
Yeah. But you know what? I'll take it. I'll be a herb.
So what was the tweet?
I tweeted.
It upset somebody.
It was something we were talking about last week, and it was about the thief on the cross. And I said, look at us on Twitter. It was something like this.
Uh-huh.
Like, look at us on Twitter. Everybody's virtue signaling. Everybody trying to show that they're more enlightened than these other people, that we're better than them.
Right.
Jostling for position. But there's a man on the cross who has nothing to offer, and he says, he just humbles himself.
Yeah.
Jesus turns to him and says, today you'll be with me in paradise. So I'm trying to take the pressure off of myself and other people to go, it's not about us showing how virtuous we are.
Mm-hmm.
And
and someone came along. So what's the objection, though? I don't know what the objection to that would be.
It was preceded with, Jesus isn't real, you bleepity-bleepity-bleep.
Oh, I get it. Okay. And, yeah.
So I don't know, like, who's following. I guess somebody, you know, you get some retweets.
And then people start following you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's Twitter.
Yeah,
that's Twitter. It doesn't bring out the best. I'm sure if I sat down with a dude and we talked about stuff, I really do, unless there's something really odd going on there.
Mm-hmm. You could be friends, but Twitter doesn't set
people
up for that.
Yeah, so I'm like, okay, that's the way it is. Look, anytime you say anything, people have deep emotional reactions, and you don't know what they've been through. Don't know what the guy's been through. Who modeled who Jesus is to him?
Oh, that's a great point.
Well, I mean, that's look around. I mean, people have been through abuse and stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying I know that for a fact with this guy, but you don't. That's just it. We don't know. Question: are you bored? Not with the show. I realized as soon as I said it.
Oh, Brand.
No, as soon
you
as I said it,
just open us up to ridicule that way. I sure am.
But I cut it off so quickly. I think it's a great question. Generation Z. So this is people after millennials. You're like a high school senior and younger, already completely bored with the internet. Bored with this, bored with that. People are bored. I want to ask you a question, Sherry. Okay, so a little social experiment. I didn't brief Sherry on this.
No, you did not.
How often are you bored?
Oh my goodness, never.
Never.
Honestly, never.
This is because, if you don't mind me using Sherry as an example.
Oh boy.
And I knew that would be the answer.
Okay.
Because Sherry's interesting.
Oh, well, thank you.
So you're interested, right?
Yes.
Everything's kind of interesting. You could do this or that. And if anything, you don't have enough time to read all the books you want to see or to take the walks you want to take. Mm-hmm. Or do. And conversely, I think boring people, this isn't going off on kids. I was that way too, okay, mm-hmm. when I was a teenager. But as you get older, like, boring people are bored. They don't have enough interest. There's not enough going on. And there's not enough. Here's the other trick. There's not enough movies. There's not enough video games or anything to totally keep you entertained.
That's true.
It's just there's never going to be enough. And at some point, if you're not content with being just being, you're just going to be looking for one entertainment hit after another, which is exactly the way our culture is. It really is. Like, we just need one entertainment hit after another. It'd be much better to just be content. I can't remember if I told you this story before on the show or not. So if I have, please forgive me. But I was in Costa Rica with a bunch of high schoolers and some adult friends, but it was mostly high schoolers. And we took an evening off. We were doing some work down there, like mission type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We took an evening off and we rode this bus up a volcano. Mm. So it was going, you know, this rough road up a volcano. Me and some friends are sitting on top of the bus because there's a railing up there. Mm-hmm. There's not many lawyers in Costa Rica, so we're able to do that kind of stuff. So, but we're all going up there. It's at night. So imagine this. Think about this. It's at night, and there's a lightning storm, but it's far away. We can see it way up the mountain at the top of the volcano.
Mm-hmm.
So we're watching a volcano at night, and it's a living volcano. Like, it's active. We can see glowing embers falling down the sides of the thing and hear it and see lava.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is Mount Arenal, and you can feel the quaking. So you can feel this, the quaking underneath.
Mm-hmm.
We get off the bus and we watch this stuff happen. You can see thunder, lightning. You can hear the monkeys
mm-hmm.
jumping around in the trees. It's an awesome evening. It's spectacular. We're looking up there and the kids are like, hey, can we go back to the hotel and watch some television?
No,
I'm not
way.
Kidding.
Seriously?
I am not kidding. And they got back on the bus. And we were, like, us adults were standing out there going, oh my goodness. And I got on the bus and they were whining about it. Like, can we go back? We want to watch the television. We want to watch a movie. I'm like, I was more passionate than usual in my response.
Uh-huh.
I didn't even know them that well. I'm like, let me get this straight. We're at a volcano at night. You're with friends in Central America, mm-hmm. and we're looking up, and there's a thunderstorm going on up there. That you can hear monkeys in the trees. You're with your best friends, laughing and talking. You can see all this stuff. You can see active lava, and you want to go watch TV. Well, we're bored. And I said, you're not bored. You're boring. You're all boring.
You said that.
I actually said that, and then I got done with this. I was more passionate than usual, and one of the girls actually said, wow, that was a pretty awesome speech you just gave. And I was like, hey, thanks.
At least they can appreciate
yeah.
that.
I was like, nice. Hey, thank you. I appreciate that. I didn't mean to be too passionate about it. Like, this is bad, guys. Come on. Some good information for you if you are socially awkward. Okay. So that's me too. But I saw this article and I think it'll help me a lot.
Okay.
How to make the right first impression according to science. Good news for the socially awkward, it says. Okay. I have my attention.
Okay.
I want good news.
Science, socially awkward. Yeah. It's all up your alley
you.
Right now.
I like good news. I'm socially awkward. there is a right way to say hello. When saying hello, researchers were able to find the ideal intonation for coming across as either determined or trustworthy.
Determined in a hello?
Yeah. You have to say it the right way. I've always thought they're probably...
Why do you have to be determined in your hello?
I don't know, just a command authority or something. According to scientists, the person who says hello in the descending pitch will sound determined.
Right.
No.
Okay.
So the descending pitch. So the first, hello. That makes you,
scary?
I descended my pitch. So we're walking down the hallway and you say something. Say something.
Hey, Bran, how you doing?
Hello. You know I'm determined. But if I put emphasis on the second syllable, the word conveys an image of authority to anyone who hears it. Put emphasis on it. It's not necessarily pitch.
Right. Okay. You want to try that?
So if I want to sound determined and authority.
All right. Hey, Brent, how you doing?
Hello.
Brent, please.
On the other hand, if a person wants to inspire trust in others, they should end their greeting on a higher note. You end it, so that's for trust. Higher note.
Hey, Brent, how are you doing?
Hello? And then now you,
just
trust
stop.
Me, the
Brent,
second
please.
Syllable rises quickly in pitch.
Oh, my goodness.
Do it again.
Hey, Brent, how are you?
Hello? And then now I have commanded the
You
room.
Commanded us to call 911 because something's wrong with Brent.
Hello? Little twist, determination, and trust.
Trust, all sure. Together.
Man, maybe you can relate to this. Did I ever get a lesson the other day in how to actually handle things the right way instead of the wrong way? Because I handled something the wrong way. I spread gossip. And I didn't mean to, but I can give you all the excuses. But what I was thinking. But what was awesome about all this was the person involved who got wind of what I'd said called me and said, I heard this. What's up? I don't appreciate that. And it was very direct. And it was, I wanted to hang up immediately. Like, oh, the reception, I can't, you know, the, I'm
sorry.
Hello. But I had to say, you're right. And I am so sorry. And that person's gracious reaction was, hey, it's okay. We'll forget about it. We'll move on. I'm like, no, you know what? I'm not going to forget about it because I have to learn this and I got to get better at this. And so also I went back to the people I remember talking to. It was more than one and had to say, you know what? What I said, I should not have said. It was based on hearsay. I guess I just felt like I needed to have some expertise in some area and offer something. And I should have just kept my mouth shut. I didn't know. And I said something that was wrong, and I told them specifically what it was.
Mm-hmm.
I said, please don't hold it against this person because that was my bad. And but it was a great lesson on how to handle something, because when you have somebody directly, instead of responding the way I would have, which is, can you believe what this person did, was directly to me. Like, I'm going to cut this off at the pass and go directly, doing the exact opposite of what I did. And it made me feel uncomfortable. And frankly, she was probably uncomfortable too, but she was right. And that's the, like, man, maturity, even younger than me too. Younger and wiser. And boy, that's the way to do it. If you're struggling with that, do what she did. Go straight to the source and straighten it out. Good news. A note from a girl. She's 7. Her name is Rye, and she's awesome. And she, well, her mom wrote and said that Rye wants more of the show jingle.
Brant.
So, well, Rye likes it.
I want to see that note.
It's on.
Is it Rye in quotes and her mom in quotes?
No.
As if
no,
they don't exist.
Real.
That this is real. Okay.
Sherry, just because that made up stuff in the past, does it give you license to just
to assume that you're doing it again?
So, We'll do that. This is for Rye, but a lot of people like it. Here's the only trick with it is, look, we don't have a budget.
Right.
Okay? There it is.
Our cards are on the table.
Right. It's not that we don't have a big budget.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have any
a budget at all. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I would love to have 57 people on the show.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to have all of that.
A produced jingle with actual singers and musicians. And,
yeah.
We don't have it, guys.
We have this, and so I have to sing it myself.
Okay.
But it... This is the Brent Hanson Show. And so what happens is, if you listen to the radio, like growing up, I would hear that, like they would say something funny or profound, and then you hear the jingle. So I just
They're produced jingles. So should we not wait on the jingle until we can get singers and all of that?
When is that going to be? So
that's a good point.
Yeah, thank you. It was a really good point. This is the Brent Hanson Show. Yeah, we just saw this study. It's all about how you say hello. That's how you command authority. It's first, like the first reaction you get from people.
I think it's
so interesting.
Okay. I think it's just, if you're just natural, whatever your natural way of being.
That's the problem.
Sherry, why?
Seriously, like you're natural. You're a natural. That's why that gets, you have this social thing. You attract people.
Well, thank you, but
okay,
I think
it's not natural for me.
I'm just saying be who you are. Just be you. Just say hi the way Brant would say hi.
That's not working. Okay? I need you to understand. Like, my whole life is flashing before my eyes. You're like, be who... No. Because you have to replicate... I've learned to make eye contact, all that sort of stuff. Like,
yes.
I have to learn how to do it. Okay?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
All right, so go ahead.
So anyway, but what I was wondering, it said to sound determined, you go down, hello, and then to sound trustworthy, you go up. If I want to be, hey, I'm trustworthy, hello?
All of that is just frightening to the other person, Brant, and it doesn't sound genuine, is what I'm trying to tell you. I'm trying to help you.
I hear you.
Okay.
Um.
What are you doing?
This is
Lionel
Richie.
Wait.
I think it's so good. 1,000 times I sometimes see you pass outside my door. Listen to how it goes. Door.
Why?
Hello. It's trustworthy. That's trust.
Is it me you're looking for?
So, I'll shut up.
Please make this stop.
Hello. You see the pitch goes up.
He did do that, yeah. And I trust, we all trust Lionel Richie.
We all trusted Lionel. That's my point. That is exactly my point. Way back in the 90s, it was 1994. There was this little family, and they ran a little fruit stand. They had a three-year-old girl, and she was the light of her life, and her daddy loved her. And he had to go get change, and so he left the fruit stand to go get change from a friend at a neighboring vendor stall. This was in China. And when he came back, his daughter was gone. And obviously, he panicked, trying to find his daughter. Where's my daughter? She's 3 years old. He didn't find her. He didn't find her that year. He didn't find her the next year. He didn't find her the year after that. He was frantic. He tried everything. Where's my daughter? And he took out newspaper ads, and they did everything they could to try to track her down, and nothing ever happened. Now, fast forward to a couple years ago, he decides to become an Uber driver. And when he drives, he's like, well, as long as I'm driving, he puts a sign with his daughter's picture on the back of his Uber. So she's 21.
Wow.
So this is a few years ago. He's driving around. Where's my daughter? Where's my daughter? He just hasn't given up and kept looking, got some false leads. Finally, somebody calls from the other side of China and says, we think it's her. We think we saw her. They had a police sketch done about what she might look like as an adult. It turns out it was her. So they've just been reunited. She's 24 years old and he's got his daughter back. And the reason I bring this up, I don't know the rest of what happened here. I don't know what the emotional homecoming was like. I don't know what the relief was from mom and dad. But I always read this story as a kid of Jesus being a shepherd, and there's one lost sheep, and he would go out there, and it's caught in thorns, and he just was relentless about it. He left all the other ones to get. And I can sort of relate to that because I like animals, but I don't know much about the shepherding business. How about thinking of God, too, in a way like that? He'll become an Uber driver if he has to and put a sign on the back of his window going, I'm missing you. You're the one I want. I don't, like, come back. I want you back. I will go to the lengths of the earth and I will never forget. That's how much he wants you. Like, put God in those terms as the Father who is relentlessly searching for you. Well, here's a question. Is sharing more important than caring, or is caring more important than sharing? I'm going to talk about that right now. If you, I'm sorry. I can't even answer that question.
Which one is more
right
important? We'll never know.
Breaking animal news. Animal news breaks out. We break in with the animal news. It just broke out.
And
here's the thing. People don't cover this stuff, so we're going to cover it.
Okay.
The animal kingdom is wide and diverse, and there's a lot going on, and it just remains like a big
dark secret.
But
nobody covers it. Yeah.
Headline, Wisconsin voter wants to bring ducks to election. She lives in a tiny northeast Wisconsin town, and she wants to bring her ducks to the polling station with a sign that reads, if you don't vote, you can't squawk.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't vote, you can't squawk. Okay.
Ducks don't really squawk.
Right, ducks don't really squawk.
They
so if you
quack.
Think about it that way, it'll make less sense. but it doesn't, like, I like the idea of bringing the ducks. That's solid.
Can I get into your mentality here?
Yeah.
Just for a second.
Sure.
So you saw this headline. And you said, my goodness, I've got to bring this to people right now.
I like the thinking. Because this woman is instead of thinking that her vote ends her civic obligation.
She went a step
further.
She
sees more. What else can I do for the Republic? What else can I do to advance the idea of democracy?
Ask not.
Right. And she's like, hang on a second. She realized.
I have ducks.
I have an asset.
Okay.
And I have a way to encourage people. It is true, though, if you stop and think about it, she wants to position them at the polling station.
Yeah.
But to say if you don't vote, you can't squawk, but people are already there to vote.
So it's not an accurate message for those people.
Right. But I like the idea, I think, because Sherry is afraid of birds.
That's true.
This would suppress her vote. So there might be a constitutional issue. She might see the ducks and walk away.
Oh, I would sue.
I know.
This has been the Brant and Sherry Oddcast, sponsored by MediShare. To find out more about the radio show or to order Brant's new book, Blessed Are the Misfits, go to BrantHanson.com.